And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Hey.
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 It's good
hey.
To have you all here. We are back. This is our first post-Halloween
episode. No, wait. Nope, oh, okay. Oh, it's Gobble Gobble?
Yeah, exactly.
And we got Tay back.
Yeah. Tay's all day.
Gang's all here.
Tay's all day.
Again, I'm working on getting Chocolate Rain as our new theme song, so just ooh. FYI. So this week we're going to talk about Another Round. This was an under the radar movie that came out. I mean, I say it's under the radar. It was nominated for Oscars, but a lot of people haven't heard of it. So.
Yeah, I did not.
Nominated for a little known award called the Oscar.
Yes. It was nominated for Best Director, and it won Best International Feature. So it was a very decorated movie, and it's won tons of international awards from Denmark. So, yeah, I want to go back and take a look at this, starring Mads Mikkelsen.
It is a foreign film, and it all in subtitles, just... You know, mm-hmm.
Yes. It well, is it's not in subtitles if you watch it in Dutch.
Ooh.
With yeah. no subtitles.
That's true.
So if you speak Dutch.
Well, or Danish.
I just wanted to scare off any of our less intelligent listeners.
Okay.
We're going to have to verify that because my Danish is a little rusty. So we get everybody's thoughts. So basically a quick synopsis. It's these four university professors or high school, whatever you want to call it, prep school
teachers.
Yes. I almost got the vibe that some of them, maybe it's just the state of schools over there in Scandinavia.
Yeah,
it's fancy. It seems
super fancy.
Yeah, you know, I think about American high schools and movies are always kind of like the Michelle Pfeiffer, the Dangerous Minds kind of thing. They're always falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, mine was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always just decrepit. But then you go to Europe and it's just their cathedrals, you know, and all the kids are super smart and talking about it.
Listen, the American Proust. Public school system is not on trial here.
No, it's not.
It should be.
But yeah, and then maybe we can do that in a later episode.
For Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, exactly. So these high school teachers or whatever, they decide they're kind of bored, midlife crisis type situation, and bored at work, bored at home. They come across a study that says that humans are basically born too sober. They're born with a blood alcohol deficiency. And so they have to drink, mankind is meant to be 0.05 at all times. Which
0.05 or 0.5?
I believe it's 0.05 blood alcohol.
Okay, 0.05.
Yeah.
0.5.
Hello.
You hammered 0.5.
Half your blood is alcohol.
And so they decide that they are going to try and match that and keep breathalyzers handy and kind of maintain. And I wouldn't even say that's a buzz. I'm not sure, but it's I know that 0.08, is the legal limit in most states in the United States or somewhere in that vicinity.
Except for Utah.
Yeah. I believe in some states it's probably less.
Yeah.
A couple states it's more.
Yeah, I think it's 0.05 in Utah.
Is it? 0.05 is not that much, I don't think. So, I mean, that's probably, two drinks, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's two or three, yeah.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on your body weight, obviously.
Yeah. And so these guys decide that they're going to maintain that. They're going to keep that level going all day and see what the results are. And so, from there, they see some positive benefits, as you can imagine. You know, it's they see that they're a little more vibrant, a little more, their lives have gotten a little more spicy.
They say hi to people in the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think things have got some, some energy to them now. And so they decide they're going to try and double down and raise that on up to 0.1.
Yeah.
And so, and then they keep going from there. And eventually it ends up in a full on puking in the streets, debauchery. So, I thought that'd be interesting, especially because, three of us have worked in the business of liquor. And, looking at it from that end, because we've seen people.
Fuck you, Sean.
Oh,
Sean has.
Wow.
What a dick.
Wow. And, even there, Sean brings the normie perspective, the outside, the booze.
Dick perspective.
And that, too.
Sorry, I love you.
Listen, just because I'm short doesn't mean I have dick perspective.
What? Oh. No, you're hogging out. Yeah. Big old lap hog.
So,
okay. Yeah.
Going around the horn, I'm kind of curious.
I'm at 0.1.
Yeah.
So we are reasonably coherent right now. So what we're going to do is we'll go a quick around the horn and then we're going to take a breather.
Yeah.
We'll get activated and we'll come back and we'll see how our podcast improved after we've had a few beverages.
Like that.
Yeah. So we'll see what it does. Tay, what did you think?
Loved it. And I will say this was probably one of the films where I was so used to a lot of especially coming from Halloween. Halloween movies, been watching a lot of action movies. I was fucking blown away by this film. Maybe because I hadn't seen in the more artistic films, but this one I thought was amazing. Even the very long intro, no, not intro, but the very long dinner sequence, the very beginning where they plan everything, where this is, you know, they start talking, these things are going to happen. You're like, God damn, this is going on forever.
Yeah.
But it was still good dialogue and the camera was still moving. And then, you know, I thought that was a long scene, but I was like, I kind of miss films like this.
Yeah.
And as the story went on, you know, it was a great film. They're like, hey, we're going to do this. We did it. Let's push the envelope. Let's keep doing it. Yeah. Let's see what happens. And as the film goes on, it's like, oops, maybe we went a little too far. We fucked up. Whoopsie doodles. Here's our consequences. But even the finish was like fucking amazing. They were just like, you know what? Fuck this. Booze is our life. And I was like, yes. So there was, and like, I thought the whole film altogether was amazing. It was like, it followed, I thought, how the movie should have gone. Cause I was like, how are they going to do this? Like, I do it this way. And everything they did, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I thought the acting was phenomenal. And the one thing I did say, or that I felt, is there were a lot of cringeworthy scenes.
Yes.
Which I think now, I think we talked about it maybe in one podcast, has kind of become kind of a norm in some of these like TV shows. Nine Perfect Strangers, Pretty Little Lies, White Lotus, where like they're mini series, but they're these like kind of cringeworthy, like ooh, I don't know what's gonna happen next. But in that film, there were these, you know, they were there too.
Yeah.
But it was done so well, and you just kind of went through it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, damn. And I was like, this should have won the Academy Award.
Yes.
I was like, this was a damn good film.
So yeah.
I loved it. I honestly love the action films. I love all the films I've been watching, but I forget how good some of these artistic films
can be. A
good independent film, $5 million, $3 million, and like only made 20, 27, but still just like, man,
yeah,
what a great. The only qualm I have is that they were in their 40s and like, get fucked. And I was like, I saw the ages in their faces. I'm like, no, they're
wrinkles. Their youngest friend was 40, right?
Was it just turning 40? Oh, yeah. Because they were celebrating 40.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it all, but I was like, 40, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
And I was like, but still, phenomenal film. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also loved it. And there were several cringeworthy scenes. And I find like, when it gets to that, I'm like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. And especially if I'm watching at home, like, I pause it. I'm like, I think there's something on my phone I need to check out. And then I come back to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. This is. So there was at least two or three of those, the cringe moments.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this has gone a bit weird.
Yeah.
But Mads Mikkelsen was great in the film.
Fuck yeah.
I really want him to play Victor Von Doom in a Marvel Fantastic Four movie. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, he did great. I thought it was interesting. I bought a breathalyzer halfway through watching this. I'm like, I've never gotten to use one before. I've never been arrested either, which I'm really upset about.
Yeah.
So
we can make that happen.
All
that happen.
Make a call.
So, I wish I would have watched this earlier so I could have brought my breathalyzer that is now in the mail. but yeah, it was great. I didn't understand quite the message it was trying to convey. Cause like you said, it starts off, yeah, we'll try this, you know, try keeping it 0.5% alcohol level. And then they push it farther. It goes bad. And then at the end, they kind of, you're like, what message or what lesson did we learn?
Yeah.
Are we for or against, or are we just dancing with high schoolers?
Weird. Right? Yeah.
And I didn't really think
graduated high schoolers. Let's not make it creepy.
Oh yeah, they're 18.
I didn't really get a coherent like message like that out of it. I don't know if that's what they're intending for it, like, cuz I mean, I think that's a minefield of you could be preachy with it if you tried to be like, "Oh, booze, like, you know, don't drink too much, not good for you."
Yeah.
It might have been kind of clunky if they tried to go that way, or if they tried to go pure hedonistic, you know, off the deep end, that might have also been. You're getting close to Hunter S. Thompson territory, and that's a dangerous area to be in.
Well, I guess I wonder if it's, you know, if they're trying to show, hey, this is a way it could go really, really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm a big fan of the old adage, like, everything in moderation, mm-hmm. including moderation.
Yeah.
So, you know, dabble when you want, but just don't go ham bony. Or if you do, a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean? No, I same thing. I love this movie. It was good. I said before, like, when you told me the premise, I thought, yeah, this would be more like Yakety Sax. And then I got in the movie. I'm like, oh, this is actually really emotional and tells a great story. Yeah. Like, you really feel for these characters. And I think that's why it's so cringeworthy. It's like they bond you to these characters so early on, and then you just watch them be drunk in public and try to like pass. And it's like that, like you're awkwardly watching a friend who's had too much to drink at a party and just like stumbling around. And it's like, oh, that's so fucking awkward.
I've been that person.
We all have.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this movie hits such a note, is like, imagine trying to pass at work while at like, you know, a 0.1.
Yeah.
You know, like imagine like
where you were drunk.
I mean, yeah.
Being
like super cheerful and everyone's like saying hi, and you're walking through the hallway being, you know, shooting finger guns at people. And then like you run into a door. Like, it's just so fucking awkward.
Yeah.
You know, and it the movie does such a good job of endearing you to these characters that when it happens, you just feel it to your bones. But I thought it was beautifully shot, beautifully written. The low budget doesn't really come through. I mean, to your point, I think there's a lot of it lands in a gray area of morality, of like, what's the message it's trying to send? I think it's more about seizing life and less about the actual drinking aspect of it. I think the drinking was
a catalyst
for him realizing that there's these problems in his life, and him addressing them when he's super fucking wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mads Mikkelsen was amazing.
He was great.
He's one of my favorite actors. Yeah. If you ever saw Hannibal, he's amazing in Hannibal. Mm-hmm. And seeing him, you know, act in this was incredible.
It's interesting to see him play like an everyday person as opposed
which
to
is
like,
so weird, because he's such a striking character.
Mm-hmm. And like, everything he does,
he's super intimidating, and just like, well, and seeing him just be like a history professor.
And it was like at the very beginning when they're at the dinner, and like he chugs that wine, kind of starts telling the story, kind of gets a little emotional, crying. I'm like, Casino Royale.
Yeah.
And I was like, because like,
the blood tear.
Yeah, and he touched his eye, and I was like, okay, stop thinking that. Watch the film.
I'm feeling bad for the guy, but he's also like tortured James Bond's testicles with like a knotted rope.
I saw him slam a guy's balls with a monkey fist.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a damn scene.
But yeah, but he was.
Anyway, here he is crying over phenomenal. His wife and him not being that close anymore. Yeah. Like,
It's very real, you know, very well.
It's just such a well-directed and well-written movie that it does such a good job of really tying your emotions to these characters. And I think that's why it's so cringeworthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like in I don't know his name, but the drunk coach, when the kid scores the goal, I'm like, all I could think of was like Ted Lasso. Yeah. And I was like, man, like they are really showing this, like they're showing everybody's aspect really well. And I was like, man, this is a good film. It was like these little scenes here and there. I was like, this is really making this film phenomenal.
I was really wanting to see more of them like teaching drunk. Like I thought those scenes were great when you're, and they talk about, oh geez, I don't even know what composer, but they're like, yeah, this guy played piano when he was drunk and you know, composed all this stuff, and they were playing the piano right before they were showing him go back in, and you were just like, yeah, these guys are teachers that are in a rut, but they go in, they're a little buzzed, and they're just like orchestrating the whole class. Yeah, like the history and the singing, different and the coaching. What did the other guy do?
There was psychology.
Psychology? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to get a little more activated and see how our podcasting goes.
We're going to find our 0.05.
Exactly. So we'll be right back.
We find yours.
If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CinemaVino. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget that CinemaVino to get your first month free.
And we are back. So we hope you enjoyed that little ad from our sponsor.
Interlude.
And we're going to talk about the movie a little bit. We got activated. We drank a magnum of wine. We took some shots.
What did we take a shot of?
That was the...
10-cup?
10-cup rye. Which I do enjoy a good rye whiskey. And 10 cup, incidentally, comes with its own shot glass, so you can measure.
I'm slightly, I'm not sweating.
No, you're sweating. Yeah, you are sweating.
You are damp.
You're humid. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not. I don't call it sweating unless there's a bee, like actually like a droplet
so you're
dripping
just,
down.
You're, just give it time.
I'm just, I'm glowing.
You're approaching beauty. Like the status of like the old school like lawyer in the Southern jury, like dabbing his forehead. Like,
are you saying I'm Matthew hell. McConaughey and of you, like, ladies what, and not gentlemen. Of you to a kill. What movie is that?
I thought you were going to say A View to Remember, kill. And I was like, oh, I'm in for this.
Yeah. Yeah,
a time to kill.
Time to kill.
Time to kill. A view to a kill.
Yeah.
So Tin Cup.
Which is a great movie also, by the way.
Yeah. Tin Cup is actually what I took camping. It was a good camping whiskey because it has a little shot glass with it that you can drink out of.
You can measure it,
really need to.
Yeah.
Very fans.
And so, yeah, we've polished off a magnum of Mondavi Woodbridge Pinot Noir. I won't say it was delicious, but I won't not say that it was not delicious.
It does the job.
It was red and wet.
Yes.
And we drank it.
Oh.
It accomplished what it was meant to accomplish, which was, I mean, you got to think about the people in this movie when they're getting like boozy, like really boozy. They're not going to be discriminating about what they're drinking.
Well, and you said it been in the industry long enough. I call them professionals. The seasoned professionals who drink quite a bit.
Yeah.
Man, they're not buying the best stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Like, they're buying the stuff that's going to, like, hey, this is going to get me to the next level.
Yeah. So are we 1.0 right now?
I'm sure. I think we're a little above that, but not crazy above that.
So in this movie, they were kind of all over the place about what they were drinking. They drank indiscriminately clear spirits, beer, wine.
A lot of vodka.
Was it vodka? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
It's a Nordic state, so like I assume it's a lot of vodka.
Yeah.
But they just drank it straight or drank it with
Pierre Jouet.
Yeah.
some bubbly.
They did do some bubbly. Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And that's one thing working in the business is like, and my wife, she works for a beer distributor. We can kind of do this watching movies. We can see like what people are drinking immediately, even the old school, like Mad Men type stuff. You know, the labels don't change that much. It's like you can immediately see like the bottles of bubbly, bottles of vodka. It's like you know what they are.
Yeah.
Do alcoholics tend to favor one thing that they just get every time?
Yeah, so whatever.
True alcoholics are monogamous.
Yeah. Much like video gamers like have a main. Yeah, they have a main whiskey.
Okay.
And then they have some alts.
Look, I'm just trying to like appeal to our broad audience.
Oh, yeah.
My main is a level 15 mage. My alt is tequila.
Okay, that got too much. Let's bring it back.
One thing I thought that was interesting about the movie is they kind of distinguished against like them being alcoholics. They were like, no, we're not alcoholics.
Yeah.
We can choose when to stop. We're doing this intentionally. Yeah. This is just something that, we are intentionally wanting to do. But the movie, obviously one character delved into alcoholism and then kind of over the edge.
Yeah.
Can I just say, like, I really wish I thought it was awesome that they were sitting down, typing it out, taking notes.
Yeah.
I wanted them to publish their findings or have something out and about. Like, I really thought the end thing was going to be like, hey guys, we should all be drinking here at this school because look at what we've got.
Yeah. It just kind of went away from at least, that.
This is like knowledge without, without sharing almost. They realized it was detrimental, but they realized it was a boon to a point.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to see the end of that instead of just the shit's gone bad, we're stopping.
Very distinctly broken into three acts. Like, in movies they break into three acts, but this one they actually literally broke it into, we're going to test it out at 0.05, 0.01, and then we're going to take it to its logical conclusion, which is extreme drunkenness throughout the day.
The disaster's extreme.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to think of like, nobody has like a lot of like, really rewarding great stories of the time they got blackout drunk. I mean, they might be funny, they might be interesting, but it's not like, oh, great things happened when I had like an entire bottle of tequila. You know, it's like, it kind of goes completely counter to their original experiment of like, well, I'm going to operate at peak capacity, supposedly. According to science, I'm going to have a little bit of alcohol and kind of raise my performance up. You know, as opposed to I'm going to get absolutely blackout, annihilated, drunk, dancing in the streets.
Well, they do say that at some point. They're like, hey, I forget how they explain it, but they essentially say, if you're feeling this good at 0.5, you're going to be feeling twice as good
at
1.0.
Let's just keep going.
And then just keep going. Like, that's in the And I don't know if this is a fictitious study that they were referencing. I didn't check that out.
I believe it's a real study.
I think it is.
Okay. I think that's a real study.
I would like to read that.
Research on this, but it sounds like it's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it's almost like, you know, if you're, for us in Tulsa, there was a ride called Zingo back in the day, roller coaster over here at Bell's Amusement Park, where it's like, you know, you're climbing and climbing and climbing, and it's like, it's kind of fun. You know, you're going up, and it's like that anticipation. You know, that's to me going from, you know, 0 to 0.5 to 0.1, you know, thinking things are going really well. And then you start, well, let's double down, get blackout drunk. And then all of a sudden you're going straight down.
Yeah. It's, hey, Miley Cyrus, man, hits the climb.
Yeah.
Hits you like a wrecking ball?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both are completely applicable to this.
That's Hannah Montana to you.
Jay's on my feet.
Mm-hmm. So we decided during the break that we would tell stories about ourselves, because it's like you watch this movie and you also watch this movie. There are moments where it's like you will cringe if you have ever drank socially, because you've been there. You've lived the time periods of like drinking a little bit too much and being a little bit too activated. You know, it happens to everybody.
Like relatable. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like when I watched Super Size Me and he's eating McDonald's to excess, is it bad that for me watching that, I'm like, shit, I really kind of want some McDonald's now.
I've been
watching
there.
Watching this movie and seeing them like get like tipsy and dancing, I'm like, fuck, man, I could go for a beer right now.
Those two I don't know.
That was some like, good wine they were drinking.
We should have a trigger warning on this one. Like, hey, just before you watch this movie, there's a lot of drinking that occurs. Right. And it looks, some of it looks,
delicious.
Yeah. It looks tempting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like for me, I know for a long time, I smoked in college. I smoked cigarettes when I was in college. And it was like, I would see people in movies having a beer and a cigarette for you, because I quit. Like, it was a hard stop. I just literally cold turkey quit.
Cold turkey is not as delicious as it sounds. Going
cold turkey is not delicious in general.
Yeah. I think that's the point of the metaphor.
Yeah.
But I would see movies where people were having like chugging a beer and having a cigarette. And it's like, man, that sounds great. Especially if you've had a long day or whatever. It's like, God dang it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to have a high life and a cigarette right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Only the best.
Only the best.
Yeah.
So I get that where it's like, you see that and it's tempting. And it's like, you know, there's an element of being like drunk that I think is like at the right level is kind of fun. Again, it's like a roller coaster. You got to be careful because eventually you're going down Space Mountain.
Yeah. I appreciate that the movie tried to set limits on. They were like, we're going to stop drinking at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Because that's what
Mark Twain.
No, Hemingway.
Hemingway. Yeah.
Hemingway, who was a notorious drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, Hemingway was like an absolute fucking
And did
drunk.
He really stop?
Did he stop at 8 o'clock? Did. Fuck no, he didn't.
He told people.
What was the Hemingway quote? It's right drunk, edit sober.
Yeah.
So the illusion that they would stop drinking at 8, and I think that's what the movie kind of illustrated, was that there's a real slippery slope of, which, horrible thing to say if you're drinking.
Yeah.
Just horrible slippery slope of just talking yourself into, I can control this.
Yeah. I don't have a problem.
I'm just drinking for fun.
When you're young and you're drinking, like, you know, for the first time, you don't know your limits. You're going way over, and you're just basically abusing alcohol.
I want to do the lake race.
As you get older, you know your limits, and again, you still try to ride the snake.
Yes,
you want to get like the perfect amount of drunk. But, you know, sometimes you can still overdo it. You can be like, man, I'm feeling so good, having a great time with friends. You might have a few too many. And if you go to Taco Bell, that's always a bad idea. Wake up with cotton mouth.
Or if you happen to be drunk during the day and go get Quiznos.
Mm.
What? Mm. No. Quiznos is always a good idea.
Quiznos.
Eat fresh. Wait.
When you're here, your family.
Quiznos. The
fresh maker.
Yeah. They just need to send a brownie through the toaster for you.
Exactly.
That's all.
If they would, you know, get their ass in gear.
Taylor, you weren't here for
I don't know. I want to see a brownie in the toaster.
In the middle of one of our podcasts, we started talking about Quiznos and how we really liked it. And then we just started, you know,
talking about Quiznos.
Saying Quiznos a lot.
Black Forest ham.
Quiznos.
Yeah. And their bread is delicious. I'm sorry.
Prime rib and peppercorn.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yep.
But I would even go for a good like tuna melt. There's no way around it.
I haven't had a Quiznos in years.
Slaughter a tuna.
Is it real melt. Tuna for yeah. from Quiznos?
Yeah, I think it's have albacore. They
investigated yet? It's yeah. it's tuna salad.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, Taylor, I don't know if you know this, but if you go to Quiznos, they will take a chocolate chip cookie and send it through the toaster for you.
And you can watch.
And it comes out warm and melty and delicious on the other side.
Yeah. How many Quiznos are even left?
We talked about this in the last podcast. Yeah. There's one on 71st and
Memorial.
Just not too far from here.
Is that the only 71st one?
And Mingo. That's the only one in Tulsa.
Mingo? Yeah. Or Mingo, okay.
And I was telling about how, like, when Joe and I go, like, even internationally, I will find a Quiznos.
Internationally.
Especially yeah. when she goes.
Ah, the Irish. They know on. How to make a Sammy.
The one on Cherry Facebook. Street is gone, and the one near TU is
TU
gone.
TU is gone.
That's in Mexico, it's called water. El Quiznos.
Ooh.
But yeah, she will post on Facebook of like, you know, we're going to Paris. Where should we, like, go eat? You know, obviously I'm thinking there's going to be the best restaurants in the world in Paris, and I will find a fucking Quiznos.
Oui.
You know, it's like
La Quiznos.
It's like, I know we're going to get some Black Forest ham.
So another round was excellent, and we all got drunk at some point in our lives, and Todd got so drunk one time that he...
So, yeah, we're going to talk about, like, our own personal incident. I don't mind telling it myself.
Hell yeah.
So I went to Cozumel for Christmas one year with a family that we know really well. They go to Cozumel every year to celebrate Christmas, and they go to the all-inclusive resorts. And so they invited me, and I went with them. And apparently they have a tradition where, like, you know, when you get there, you take a shot of tequila every hour.
On the hour.
On the hour.
Go, wow.
Yeah, and these are big people.
Oh, yeah. They're all at least six foot six. Oh,
gigantic people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I believe our good buddy is like 6 foot six, and he's like the runt of the three brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the dad's 6'7". I mean, they're all massive. And then I'm clocking in here much smaller.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like 5 foot six right now.
Much
on a good
smaller
day.
Person. And so they literally will get like a stopwatch out or whatever, like a watch, and time out the shots every hour. They're dinging shots. First day we get there at 11 a.m. We get checked in. And so a room won't be ready until 3 p.m. They're still, you know, vacuuming the sand out of whatever hotel room we're checking into. And so we, like, you know, get in there at like 11 a.m. And so we have about a 4 hour gap. And so we just, you know, get in our trunks and go to the swim up bar and, you know, are taking shots every hour, but we're also drinking Dos Equis. And so by dinner time, about 6 or 7 o'clock, I've had a shot. I've had, at that point, 8 shots of tequila and probably half a dozen beers, maybe a few margaritas. And I am out of my mind drunk.
Your heart will not go on.
Yeah, no. Todd rarely gets activated drunk, and we always try to get him to tip the scales, tip the limit, because he always likes to be in control, and it's never cool to watch.
And it's ironic, because I like to get my friends good and drunk.
Yeah, he likes to do too strong of pours and get other people twisted.
Todd pours.
Yep.
And so this time at the tables would turn, because it was like I was hammered by dinner time.
I think you were turned.
Yes. We sat down to dinner at this, you know, again, all-inclusive place. It's all buffet style. And I was wasted out of my mind. And I ended up getting up. I was going to go use the bathroom. And apparently, according to eyewitnesses, I do not remember this, but according to eyewitnesses, I went up to the dessert bar and grabbed a pumpkin pie, a full pumpkin pie.
Damn right.
Picked it up off of the dessert bar and walked out of the restaurant with it. And again,
I haven't heard this.
According to eyewitnesses, I ended up at the resort next door at their all-inclusive restaurant. I left our resort completely and ended up in our I think it was El Reef Club or something. It was a much nicer resort. It was one star up from wherever we were staying. And I walked into their restaurant carrying, I was in my trunks and a t-shirt, and I was carrying a full pumpkin pie. And this was like a nice sit down, like dress up restaurant.
It's okay. I brought a pie.
Yeah. And I do vaguely, like, a snapshot remember walking into a restaurant that I did not recognize or know anyone there. But then I turned around and left. And I remember I ended up at the front desk of that resort. And I realized that was not the place that I checked into. I had left that hotel completely. And so they eventually sent me back towards the right.
Did they just sort of like aim you in a direction? They just sort of pushed.
I was like a missile that they aimed back toward the right restaurant.
Go.
And so I ended up in the proper restaurant or the proper hotel. And I could not remember my name when I got to the front desk. And so these nice, dear people at the front desk were like, you know, what is your name, senor? It's like, I don't know. I just want to find my goddamn room.
No, sir.
And they were like, no, sir, we need to know your name. I was like, no, fuck you. I got to find my goddamn room. And so eventually I remember the next thing was standing in the ocean up to my knees. I don't know how I got there. The pie was gone.
Like the Truman Show. Yeah.
I didn't have the pie anymore, but I was standing in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, up to my knees with the waves lapping. And then the next thing I remember, and I don't know how I got there, somebody found me walking around the Gulf of Mexico. And I ended up
just walking around the Gulf of Mexico like you do.
I remember it's a beautiful night. It was a beautiful moonlit night. But I was staying in the room with two brothers, two of the big brothers, and like as soon as one of the brothers, the youngest, walked me into the room, we saw the middle brother passed out in bed. And for some reason we beat the hell out of him. Like we jumped on the bed and started beating the hell out of him. And I remember we woke up the next day and he said he had bruises. And to this day, I don't think either of us have told him where he got those bruises.
Nice.
I may have punched him in the back.
Yeah.
But I remember they were going to snorkel, and somebody out in the hallway from the maid staff was washing vomit off of the hallway wall. I don't know who that was.
But, yeah.
And I do remember there were seagulls. I could hear seagulls in the distance.
Instead of crow, I don't know.
Very hazy memories, but anyway, that is something I relate to from this movie about just taking it to the next level.
Oh yeah,
I'm really worried. Like, I hope somebody ate that pie.
Somewhere had a delicious.
There's some
pumpkin pie
or the seagulls.
Seagulls.
Honestly, those seagulls had a full pie.
Pumpkin pie out of season is interesting.
Yes.
Normally, you would expect a non-seasonal place to have non-pumpkin pie, like apple, cherry. Pumpkin is a choice.
Well, it's close to the equator, so the rules are different.
It's Thanksgiving all the time.
That is true.
It goes down the other way around, like it swirls the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
Taylor, this one time, Taylor got way drunk, and then he...
took my pants off. That's 99% of my stories. So you have to narrow that down a little bit.
That's every day, I don't know.
Like, there's a couple of them, and you know, I say a couple. There's probably about 100 of them. I don't know. There's like this one that comes to mind. We had a pool party, and it was kind of cool and neat and fun. And the pool party had a few drinky poos, and you know, at the end of the night, you know, as a pool party happens, your pants come off. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just how a pool party should go.
Trunks.
As they should.
Yeah. And my trunks fell somewhere deep into the ocean, which was a 10-foot pool. And I...
Oh, Taylor, they were found later. They were, grabbed by the...
Travis, I'm talking about that evening. I'm not talking about... Yeah, that evening. This is the whole story. It's the evening.
All right.
So the trunks were taken in by the pool intake, the filter?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So they were gone. And that's just magic.
Blame it on the pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the pool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, who has, you know, that big of a suction? Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway, I leave the pool party, not really sure what's happening. My pants are off. I'm carrying kegs out. We're all friends. But I get into the car and I was like, well, fuck it, my pants are gone. I mean, that's just, they're gone forever. Mm-hmm. I have to continue my life.
Yes.
I'm not going to stop. Yeah. I still had my wallet, which I was like, that respect on that.
Where were you carrying
it? We just don't know. But I was able to secure some fast food. And I remember being in the line. I'm like, man, God, this would be a great story if I got pulled over here. I have no pants on. My shirt is barely covering my small winky. And it was like, and it was summertime, so it should have been a lot larger, but it wasn't. And so I was
in the pool.
Yeah. And it was like, I was like, man, went through there, ordered the food, got the food.
It was at Taco Bell, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And drove away. And I was like, man, I am just killing life right now, pantless. And it was like, I was like, man, I am really succeeding. Mm-hmm. And it's the things you don't think about until just now. It's like, I remember pointing to my house and being like, well, time to go inside and just be like, well, I guess I'm just going to expose my butt cheeks to every neighbor that is around right now. It was dark outside, but I was like, well, here I go. Mm-hmm. And just went inside and lived about my day.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really an embarrassing moment, to be honest. Because like, I just thought, this is how we're supposed to live anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other one that probably could have been considered to be over the limit was we were at a friend was back in town from Iraq. Uh-huh. He came back to him. God rest his soul. He's still alive. But he did do two tours in Iraq.
Tim is still with us.
Yeah, he's still here. And he came back. It was a celebratory moment. It was his first tour. He came back. Hey, let's hit it up. Let's get drunk. I'm like, great. And we started creating these drinks because as you do when you're younger, you do shots, which we all know shots are stupid. Shots are there for one reason, that's to get you drunk fast and quick. Anyway, we do the shots, and our shots of choice were the chocolate turkeys, which was a
rogue. Oh, it was a Taylor original.
Yeah.
You created this drink.
Well, I did, yeah. It was called a chocolate turkey.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a rogue chocolate stout with a shot of wild turkey dropped inside of it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Much like an Irish car bomb.
Yeah, so we called them chocolate turkeys, but we also called them Irish turkeys. So because we would do Guinness with that, so a lot of wild turkey was happening. So the long story short of it was, too many drinks. After the too many drinks, you have to release whatever's inside of you.
Yeah,
and that was a regurgitation thing.
Yeah,
I might have thrown up on a table, but during that time, I was able to scoop that stuff off the table onto the floor, which was near me. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I just thought I was living a good life, but apparently, it didn't appear that way to anybody else. Much like that noise. It was like, that was me that night. I was just, I thought I was being clever and, you know, cool. That was not the case.
Yeah.
But the best part of that night is like, I just was able to go home and live my best life.
Yeah. That was a good time. I was there for that, kind of.
Yeah.
I was also activated.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have a clear
memory. Oh, no. I still go to that bar frequently and they remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, they.
Oh, you have a plaque.
Yeah, they don't remember.
Oh, wait, you don't have a plaque. I think Tim has a plaque.
People don't forget.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 2006, 5, 6?
I think it was 4 or 6.
Somewhere.
Yeah, 4 or 5, 6.
It was back in the day.
It was, yeah.
So I had a drunken time on this podcast once. And
of all your times you're using that?
I believe Taylor and I had gone to a wine tasting right before the podcast. And
was it rosé?
Todd was there also.
Champagne. Todd was there. Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. Well, three of the four of us, the ones that are cool, were at this.
Okay.
I don't know why we started the thing like excluding you, but I just wanted to, I guess, keep it going.
It's out there.
It was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love you. I would have invited you. You would have been my plus one to this tasting.
Yeah.
I think you had a plus one there.
I would. Plus one. Oh, did I?
Yeah. So now you're just calling him out again.
Oh,
you're making him feel worse.
I took my wife, but she was pregnant, so you could have been my plus one.
Mm. Did I have a plus one of this? Taylor and I had a dab-a-do time, and Todd and I think, touched tongues at one point. But later on, we did the podcast over Plan 9 from Outer Space. And this is going to be a short story because I don't remember it. But we podcasted. Yeah, we podcasted over Plan 9 from Outer Space. Or was it the Ed Wood version?
No. Nope. We did Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Okay.
We watched the whole movie.
I don't even remember. Oh, that's right. Because we did the tasting, and then we watched the entire movie drinking.
Three bottles of wine during the movie.
God. Anyway, this is really just a big commercial to go back and listen to our Plan 9 Outer Space podcast.
Because we go to outer space.
That I leave partway through the podcast, and I don't return.
Yeah.
Because I went to go on the couch and take a nap.
And you left on the couch for a few times. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this is back when I had the big round pop filters on front of the microphones, and Travis fell asleep on top of one of them at one point.
Yeah, I think I was mumbling into the mic. But if I can tell an actual story that didn't happen live on podcast, this was in high school. I was definitely of age to drink, and I drank not to excess. But I was dropped off at my parents' house. with them worrying where I was. And as I came in the house, they were like, oh my God, Travis, you're so drunk. And I was like, no, I'm fine. This is great. My parents put me in the shower to shower before putting me to bed. I got in trouble, obviously. But as I got out of the shower, and I believe I vomited in the shower, I'm not entirely sure. My dad decided to bring me a shirt to wear, and it was a football shirt where I had been to football camp. I am not good at sports, by the way. I was just large at the time. I didn't grow much after high school, and so I was like, oh, I'm big in high school. I should probably play football. That was a bad idea. I guess
O-line, D-line?
A little of both. Mostly yeah. O-line,
I think. A little both.
Yeah. Column A, column B.
But yeah, I was JV through and through. as my dad brought me this football shirt, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. So I start putting my feet through the sleeves, and my dad is like trying to help me. He's like, Travis, no, no, no. I was like, Dad, don't worry. We do it in football all the time.
Which was true.
So really, none of that story... I didn't know any of that until like I woke up the next morning and I'm like, what am I wearing and why is it so breathy? It's because I have the slot where your head goes through on the shirt just straight up on my gooch. And my taint and my testicles are doing a lot of breathing through that. I'm like, how did I do this?
Honestly, that sounds really inviting.
That was going to be the moral of the story, is that more people should try it because it was rather comfortable. It felt odd, but it was like a fresh pair of undies. At first, it's constricting, but then it becomes a part of you.
It was supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to give this a shot.
And that was my drunk story. But one time, I will tell you, Sean was so drunk that he...
So Tulsa Tough is a bike race in Tulsa that happens the second weekend of Tulsa, second weekend of June every year. It is a crit race, and the third day is Crybaby Hill. It is something of a street party as well as a bike race. It's pretty wild. I remember being on Climax Corner with some friends, and then I got a text that said my friends were down at the bottom of the hill. I had to go down through the crowds, get to them, and hang out with them. But there was a guy who was handing out Jello shots, and they were Wickle Jello shots, which is whiskey and pickle. Whiskey and pickle Jello shots. And I took maybe two of those. I don't know. I also had a squirt gun that was filled with vodka, like lemonade vodka. And I was squirting people in the face with vodka or in the mouth. Probably also squirting myself in the mouth with lemonade vodka.
What you need to do.
Like you do. It's a summer block party.
Yeah.
I get down to the hill, drinking with friends, make it back up the hill. And my girlfriend at the time was like, you are too drunk. We need to leave. So we go to a restaurant like you do. That is known for having heavily cheesed fries.
Yes.
You know, very, very heavy fried food, things that you would want to eat when you're drunk.
Yeah.
And I excused myself to go to the bathroom, because I had to see a man about a horse and, proceeded to vomit into the toilet for probably about 15 minutes. And she knew, somebody who was working there, and she was like, listen, you need to go check on him. He's in the bathroom. I don't know what's happening. He hasn't been back for like 15 minutes. I don't like, it's not a good situation. And, so I'm in the bathroom. I come back out and I'm like, I'm great. Let's go. And, hadn't even gotten any food. We had zero food at that point. And she was like, all right, let's leave. Let's just get you home. Get me outside. I fell asleep in a bush. Like you do, because
it's comfortable.
It's summertime. I have a tendency to get very sleepy when I drink. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a very sleepy drunk. I've reached an age where I don't get to a point where I have to vomit. I get to a point where I fall asleep.
Which is good.
I recently Irish goodbye'd my own Halloween party because I fell asleep in my bed.
Yeah.
It was hosted at my house. I don't have an excuse.
No,
I
just,
I get very sleepy.
Yeah.
So I fell asleep in a bush wearing a tank top and a swimsuit. There is a picture out there of me just sort of like cross-armed backwards into a bush asleep. But yeah, that tends to be my MO when I get to a point where I'm activated.
Sleep is good.
Yeah. Sleep is great. Sleep is amazing. Wherever you can do it, get it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at that party also, and I was also activated. And I wouldn't say Irish goodbye, but I live a few houses down from Sean, a few blocks. Couple blocks away.
Well, one block.
You guys
one
live, block away. I call it a in block. An area where like everybody's a swinger.
Yeah,
is
that right? That's what I'm hearing.
You said it's that mostly to just me the two verbatim. Of
us. Yeah. It's a vibe I'm getting from the neighbors. I think they might be doing some stuff.
Sean's or neighbor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was like, wait.
I'm the neighbor. So I'm sending out the
what's
vibe.
What's the vibe?
Yeah. Todd, are you sure it's not you giving off the vibe?
This is a whole different podcast. Yeah.
I just texted Dick completely to Todd.
Yeah. Is there an upside down pineapple around
this
here?
This is Cinema like, Vino that, after dark.
Listeners, if any of you guys are swingers out there, do you put a watch or keys in the bowl? Please let us know.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Because I need to know.
Also, do you get a veto if you grab like a pair of keys or a watch or whatever you kids are using these days?
How many vetoes do you get?
Yeah. Do you have like a nope, no thank you. And then like who are the remainders at the end of the night? And if they're like, do they just go to IHOP? They're like, all right, well, let's go get some.
Travis, you are really concerned. Like, are you
like musical chairs?
Are you? I think if you come to a swinger party, you're in it to win it.
I think if I go to a swingers party, I'm probably gonna end up having to go to IHOP. I'm gonna go to Denny's and I'm gonna have a moons over my hammy with somebody else's like ugly wife and be like, this isn't gonna happen. I'm sorry.
Let's just have breakfast.
It's gonna be the last people picked playing like intramural softball. And, like, you know, she's not going to be enthused with me either. But we'll just go have a delicious, like, late night dinner and wait for everybody else to get done. You know, look, I'm not being like, you know, self-deprecating on purpose. No. I'm just like,
but you know what,
I've been living inside my head my entire life, and I know how my luck goes, and that's where I would be.
But you know what? I want to go to that party, man. Because I want to go to that party where someone's like, this ain't going to happen.
Honestly, it's been a long time since I've been to Denny's.
Yeah, and all I'm going to say
is moons over my hammy.
Endless pancakes. We going to IHOP. Yeah, we going to get carved up. We're going to see where this night takes us.
You go to a party and the response is just like, listen, I'm not feeling it, but how do you feel about breakfast?
Yeah.
You know what I'm upset about? Food?
Do you like Eggs Benedict?
It is. Why is it so difficult to get a CineStack at IHOP? Like, they have all the ingredients.
Do you
want to
get
there.
Benedict down?
I just want the CineStack from IHOP and just like, I guess we should end this podcast.
Well, I mean, I like where your head's at, where it's like, you know, it's like in a neighborhood, like everybody's going to have sex with everybody else's spouses or get French toast. Oh. It's not bad.
French kiss or French toast?
It's like, I hope you all like breakfast casserole. This has been another episode of Cinema.
It has.
Was this about a movie?
Yeah, we were talking about another round.
Mads Mikkelsen was great.
He was awesome. Great. He probably he would not be going to IHOP.
I'm
going
to send this link to Mads.
He would not be going to IHOP.
I don't know if he has a Twitter, but I'm going to send this link to him.
How is it that at no point in this movie no one considered butt chugging?
I know.
I think I know. About most movies.
If they had boofed some fucking vodka.
Those fucking Europeans. They're not up to.
Oh, yeah, they did sniff some vodka.
He snorted
Yeah,
vodka?
He was. And
he said, why didn't he sniff?
And he was up your ass.
He was snorting Smirnoff.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought of all the weird things.
That's all done.
At one point, didn't he say, let's just sniff it real hard? And that, you know.
That was the theme of my prom.
Sniff hard.
Let's just sniff.
Thought that was a movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Sniff it real hard.
Legitimate question: if you put alcohol up your butthole to get drunk that way? Does your breathalyzer work? Do you can you breathalyze?
It depends on where your breathalyzer is going.
Also, that's, wouldn't
that's
it just
legitimate question? If you
wouldn't
if you
it just put the alcohol out
up your butt? Does your breath spike a blood alcohol level?
I wouldn't think so. No.
Do you mix it with gelatin to get it to stay in your butt?
So or you just
it would just fall Travis, straight
you
out.
You just ordered a breathalyzer. I need you to test this out. I'm curious. I'm genuinely
you
curious.
Need me to blow it up my ass?
I need you.
I'll take my answer off the air.
I need you to boof some vodka and then let me know if the breathalyzer spikes.
Travis boof.
I don't know if I can reach back there, but if I can get an assist, then yes.
Yeah.
I'll help you out, man.
That's a thanks, hockey man. Assist.
Hold on. Anybody but Taylor. I feel like Taylor would help me, but then also like be mischievous.
I volunteer as tribute, yeah.
Mischievous.
Oh yeah. I'd be like, hey Travis, gotcha. I'm gonna put
it's butterscotch.
I'm gonna put one shot down here.
I mean Taylor would help me in exactly the way I wanted to be helped, and then exactly the way I didn't want to be helped. Like he would get the job done, but then he'd also get the job done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
There would be a remainder in there.
No, it's supposed to feel like this. Yeah.
It would feel a lot like Jackass with the guy doing the X-ray and like, you have a fire truck up your butt in a condom. Don't tell anybody else. Like, he knows that's already too many people. Get this fire truck out of your butt.
Taylor, and the movie was great.
So, yeah, that was a really good movie.
I'm just saying, Taylor would put a fire truck in my butt and extend the ladder.
This has been another episode.
Well, yeah, I don't think about the movie Backdraft. This has been another episode of Cinema Venom. We watched another round. We got activated, and Jesus.
You know, I think podcasting works best at a 0.05.
Yeah.
This is above and beyond.
We have flown too close to the sun, cuckoo as they say.
Careful, Icarus.
Careful, Icarus. But we will see you guys next time. And we love you. Not with a bang, but...
with a whimper.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.